When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Indeed, it is Judd's Hockey Show. Judd Zolgad, and joining me back in the saddle, Declan Goff. We obviously introduced AJ Fredrickson last Thursday, Jesse Pierce last Wednesday with me and Dex. And so excited to have Dex back because, Dex, we got something to talk about.
Okay.
This hockey team, since a very impressive 5-1 win at the X against Tampa Bay on January 4th, has gone 3-3-2. The reality is they're 3-5. They've lost five games. Yep. They had a three-game win streak, Islanders 3-1, Arizona 2-1, Washington 4-2. In none of those games have I been impressed. They have lost the rest of those games, and I'd like to start off here.
Okay.
We will certainly get to what Age and I talked about on Thursday, which was the first of two scratches now for Matt Dumba. But you know who I'm tired of? I'm tired of Ryan Hartman. I don't think he's bringing a damn thing right now. He's taking dumb retaliatory penalties. He basically told Dean he was going to stay on the ice after a bad penalty on Saturday so that he could get in a fight.
I saw that.
Made zero sense. And you know what? Here's my thing. One is this team is in desperate need if they are going to make an actual playoff bid. And right now they remain in third place in the Central, but Colorado is red hot and they're on the come. And then if the Wild falls down into the wild card, they're behind the Kings in points, and Calgary is right on their tail. This team desperately needs, if they think that they're a playoff team, and keep in mind, Bill Guerin said about a week and a half ago that this team would tell him, like their play would tell him, but if they want to be taken seriously and be consistent, they need another guy in the top six. It's not Hartman. And quite frankly, here's where I stand right now. If Matt Dumba is going to be scratched in back-to-back games, which, by the way, if that's what needs to happen, that's fine. Ryan Hartman should be a healthy scratch when the Wild plays on Tuesday in Tampa Bay. I'm tired of this pussyfooting around. I'm tired of the retaliatory penalties. I'm tired of the regression, which unlike Foligno still brings something when he plays. Hartman, to me, is bringing no edge. He's bringing an undisciplined play. I'm getting very tired of some of the habits that since that Tampa Bay game, the Wild has fallen into, and one of them is Ryan Hartman.
Okay, so just first question off the bat is then if you put Hartman out, who comes in? Who's the addition?
I'm calling Sammy Walker up.
Okay.
He brings speed. He brings, I mean, look, I'm the first to say I didn't think he was going to be a good pro, but he actually brought way more. I would argue that he is a far superior National Hockey League wing than he was at the end of the day, a college center for the Gophers.
Yeah.
Hartman's a grinder, and right now he's an angry one, and it's doing you no good. I would much rather see Goudreau, Walker, and Boldy than I would Hartman. And when Hartman comes back, he's a bottom six guy.
Yeah, I think you can say that his 65-point, 30-goal season last year was a mirage. You're right. He has not brought anything. I know he got hurt and was sidelined for a few months here, and now he's back. But there's been nothing about his game to me that says, oh, man, if they can turn the key of Ryan Hartman back into last season, then, oh, this look out, and always he's on the cusp here or always had some bad luck. I don't know. Eye test-wise, analytically speaking, too, he hasn't really done anything to me that warrants that he's on this come of a breakup that can repeat a 65-point season again. And yeah, look, he's made a great career after kind of fizzling out with Chicago of being a bottom six and being a grinder guy. And look, you need those guys, right? Those guys are contributors. And Ryan Hartman up until last season had a nice role in that space. It wasn't until last year that all of a sudden it turned into this other guy. And we thought, oh, wait a minute. There's awesome. They just found a top line center who can pair and score, 30 goals, but that's probably not going to be it. And, when we had Jesse Pierce on, one of our other additions now to Judd's Hockey Show, she mentioned how the fact when they traded for Ryan Reeves, that sparked something with this team. You can go back and look at how basically pour the Wild look through the, not poor, but lackluster, I think is probably the better word, up until the Ryan Reeves acquisition from the beginning of the season. And then after that, the Wild played really good hockey for about a 5 to 6 week stretch here. To your point, over the last, 10 games, it's been a little bit more rough. It hasn't been as disciplined and as up to par as it's been in the previous 5 weeks since Thanksgiving, essentially. But they need something else here. Can they make the playoffs? Yes. I think this team, as currently assembled, they can make the playoffs 100%. Can they be taken seriously? And do they have a style of play that tells me that they can get beyond the first round, which is something this franchise hasn't done since 2015? I've yet to see that. I've yet to buy into that. I thought last year's team could, and I obviously fell short of that, but I've yet to see that with this team, even though that this team had a stretch where they were playing very good hockey and their goaltending is maybe a little bit more established than it was last year. I don't see that. So they do have to make some type of change as we get closer to the NHL trade deadline.
They can make the playoffs when they're playing like they can play. The problem is they don't consistently. And like, I guess my question right now is the last, what is it? I gave you a 3-3-2. So the last 8 games, is that like just a slump and they'll snap out of that? Is that bad habits that are going to come around too much? Like the last 8 games, I don't like their style. And Dean has been off and on. Like, he claimed the Florida game, he didn't mind it. I thought it was not a good game. I didn't think they played well. I thought they played, to the word that you used, the pre-Reeves team sort of checked out and sort of passive at times. The first line of late has disappeared, which is really weird. In fact, the first line, 5-on-5, Saturday, 2 shots on goal. I mean, that's Kaprizov, Steele, Zuccarello. So that's a problem. But I just think the ups and downs, and when you have a second line that is basically a third line, like, you're playing at best, at the very, if I'm being nice, you're playing 3 lines that are the third or fourth line. Like, you don't have a consistent top 6. You've got your top 3 guys, and when they're not on, it's huge trouble. Yeah. Goudreau is a borderline, right? He's borderline. Boldy, I think, is a second line guy. I think that's very fair.
For sure. Yep.
But then when 2/3 of that line is basically made up of grinders or guys in Hartman's case of late who are playing undisciplined, you know, at the very best, that's 3 third lines. And so I'm very conflicted here because we get into cycles where it's like, okay, they look really, really good. And then we get into cycles of, okay, they're sort of slacking off. They're not playing as well. And I think the thing with this team, because they struggle to score a lot more than last year, where they basically, it seemed like they could score at will. In fact, they only have 2 goals this season with empty nets, which by this time last year, they had like 8.
Yeah.
So I think the issue there is the attention to detail is so important. And when this team lacks on the details, it's doomed because they're not good enough to overcome that.
So do you think when they're playing up to the Judd Zolgad discipline style, heavier style of this year's Wild team, when they were winning games from the holiday season stuff timed, and they were playing more up to the standard of what they're supposed to be playing, you think that's a team that if they played like that over the course of the regular season, that's not a team that can just make the playoffs. That's a team that could potentially win a playoff series. Is that up to your belief when they're doing that?
I think it's got the potential, but the more I watch it, I do think that if they are going to sniff a playoff series win, like, I think that team can make the playoffs. As far as a playoff series win, I think you need one more guy on that second line who can actually generate. And I would rather go, and I'm not saying Walker is great, okay? So I'm not saying, oh my God, you bring him up and you're a playoff team. But you know what he brings? He brings a spark. He brings some speed. I guess here's my question. When you watch the Ryan Hartman of 2022 and 23, what does he consistently bring? Like, nothing. Walker brought speed, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it this year at all with him.
Right. So, like, Walker definitely made some mistakes, I'm sure. And there are things that young players do that are going to drive a guy like Dean, who was a huge attention to detail player himself, are going to drive him crazy. But that being said, I love the spark. I love the chemistry that Boldy had with Walker. I don't see any consistent chemistry on that line. And Boldy has a couple goals now, I think, in the last 2 games. But if I'm not mistaken, they're both power play goals. So that comes with that Kaprizov and Ek line. I just don't see the upside. I think that Goudreau line, as currently constructed, is a third or fourth line.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's not, I don't think, wrong in your assessment. And that's where they have to kind of roll this dice here by the trade deadline and figure out if they want to be buyers and what do they want to give up. I don't know. I've been sniffing a lot more around of, you know, just reading up these insider reports from guys like Elliot Freeman, obviously locally here with Michael Russo and Joe Smith. And there's plenty of, you know, great kind of fire that's starting to pick up a little bit as we get close to the NHL trade deadline. And I'll even give hockey credit. The NHL trade deadline is now morphed into like a legitimate fun day. You know, like,
oh, God, yeah.
It's been great. It's been really good because we're hockey nerds because we love it.
That time of year is great.
I think recently, even the last few years, it's been picked up even more. And now we're, what, about 5.5, 6 weeks out from the deadline. And we're starting now, things are starting to really get picked up. And it appears that Bo Horvat is, you know, the top guy on that's going to be on the market. All to say right now, I don't think that they're going to have the pieces to get him. That just won't be a thing. But you and I briefly kicked the can on it, and I would be very curious if it is not going to cost the farm, because this is someone, in my opinion, that I think Guerin would love to have on it. You figure out the availability of ROR. You figure out what St. Louis wants to give up. Now he's 31. He's not going to command the same return as Horvat because he's
hurt right now,
and he's injured. By the way, a Kalen Addison shot, I believe, was the one that broke his foot around New Year's time. So he still won't be back, I believe, until about mid-February. So that's only going to give him about a 10-game sample size to see what they want to do with him, all things pending that he comes back by then, by the way, too. But I would bet that that's probably going to be a high draft pick. Like, St. Louis will say, give us a first-round pick for him. I'm not trying to say they're going to give ROR away for free. But if the cost is a first-round pick, and not significantly more draft capital, is Bill Guerin willing enough to play ball and get a rental in here who has won cups, who knows what it takes to win, who has skill when he's playing up to par, that's a top line guy? I would personally pivot my focus on more of someone like that than I would be mortgaging out the farm to get someone like Bo Horvat.
The Horvat thing is weird because Friedman and somebody else nationally have said that the Wild is in on those talks, that they've been called, that they've made calls. It's unclear, but they have definitely linked in Canada through some respected national Schefter-like Canadian right. hockey sources that the Wild's involved. Russo and Joe Smith of The Athletic have said, no, that's not true. The Wild's not in. Here's the interesting thing. So a week ago Saturday, when Guerin did his State of the Team midseason address, he basically said, I'll know what I have to do based on what the team does itself, like what they show me. But it was more sort of like, and it's typical Bill Guerin, they got to prove it. Like, do they deserve to be supported? Do they deserve this?
Rewarded, even.
Yes, exactly. Yep. The way they're playing right now, it's a big fat no. But that being said, would there be a temptation, like you're saying, and what would Bill be willing to give up for a guy who would instantly come into the room and command respect and is still, he's not in his prime now, but he's still a very productive player. And yes, he could step in second line guy. If that's a first round pick, does Bill say yes? Or is Bill also sort of trying to build up something here? Like, that's the question I don't know. And I don't even think if Guerin knows for sure right now, but it's just, it's obvious that this team, and I don't know why, and I'm not absolving Dean too, but this team definitely gets into weird lulls because there's never been a question about how they have to play. They've got to play a heavy, aggressive style game. But what I've seen in the last 8 games is sort of this going back, resting on their laurels, which they don't really have. So it's a very weird thing. But there's no question that when Bill Guerin said that a week ago Saturday, he was throwing down the gauntlet and a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird is since then, they've done nothing to like say, yes, Billy, we're going to want help. They've sort of just gone backwards.
Right. And if the Wild's play does uptick to a degree, I think Guerin is a lot more likely to get a rental, someone that is like ROR, because it would mean that they were rewarded for it. And it's also not going to cost the price of Horvat. I even saw, I think, it might have been Pierre LeBrun, who did a mock trade that says, you know, Toronto could be a perfect fit for ROR, and I agree that that could be an amazing fit. But it would probably cost a first-round pick from Toronto, and it could potentially also cost them Matthew Nyes, who's obviously a stud here locally with the Gophers. Now, that would be an overpay, and they even acknowledge the fact of that is I mean, Nyes is might be one of the best college hockey players in the NHL right now. That Gopher team is obviously stacked. Yeah. But I do wonder if the St. Louis Blues, who are also in your division too, by the way, if they say, well, the asking price or starting point of these conversations is a first round pick. I don't think Bill Guerin just hangs up the phone. I don't think he says I can't do a first round pick. I don't think he completely hangs up. He's going to say, well, all right, first and maybe this to make it happen. But I don't think he just completely cuts off the negotiations if basically St. Louis comes back and says first round pick. That's the starting point. Let's play ball from there.
O'Reilly's broken foot is intriguing because I think it definitely, I wouldn't say plunges, but affects what he's going to get back. Now, Kyle Dubas, who's the GM of the Leafs, has come out recently and said he's not going to trade a first-round pick or Nyes. And by the way, you do not want Nyes on the Blues. They drafted Snuggerud in the first round. Mm-hmm. That's a problem already. That kid can play. Nyes is outstanding. But yeah, so Toronto said that they won't trade either of those two things. Now, I think they're bluffing. I think they would trade their first round pick. I do not think that they will trade Nyes. I think he's a keeper. This kid's going to be a complete stud.
I think I agree too.
But all of that being said, I would agree with you. And yes, I don't think that Bill Guerin is going to get a rental like Horvat, who's going to cost him a ton. And I got to think too, when Horvat gets moved, that there's going to be teams that make a trade with the Canucks or a team that actually goes request permission to speak to Horvat's agent first and actually tries to work out an extension and then pays a king's ransom based on the extension, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, keep in mind, too, I think RR does have the full known trade clause, so he would have to waive it. But this is where, you know, having someone like Bill Guerin in the pocket of a GM like Bill, and I know Billy goes way back with Marc-Andre Fleury, so it's apples to oranges, but this isn't Chuck Fletcher convincing Ryan O'Reilly to waive the no trade clause. This isn't Paul Fenton convincing that too. This is Bill Guerin, who's a respected dude. And I think ROR also knows that, all right, I brought this team a cup. We've come down to earth hard after making the second round last season. It's going to be a little bit here. Do I have a better chance to win a cup with Minnesota, potentially re-sign there, or even hell, go and play there for 4 months. If we go on a playoff run, we do or we don't. And then I can also cash in my own way by unrestricted free agency this year, too. That's also completely on the table. I think Guerin is much more likely to go after someone like ROR. You know, the Jonathan Toews situation is also very weird. Obviously, Kane, too. That thing's going to play itself out. But if I were Guerin, I'd be much more interested. And I also would think the likelihood is much more increased if it's someone like ROR than it is a Bo Horvat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just don't think if the Wild has no chance to re-sign the guy, which they don't with Bo, there's no way that they're going to send the compensation. Like, that'd be dumb. Bill Guerin's not going to do that. But to your point, if it's a first-round pick, which is a big price, but that's the price of poker for O'Reilly, I can see that. I think Kane, who also has a no-trade with the Blackhawks, who I do think is going to get moved, he seems like an absolutely ideal fit for the Rangers. They could really use a guy like that. I think Kane with the right team now could be an absolute playoff stud. Toews isn't going to get the same as Kane is. I've heard there's some rumblings that he actually might go home to the Jets if, again, all these guys have no trade clauses. So, yeah, O'Reilly probably makes a ton of sense. Horvat's a pipe dream. But, you know, Billy could also say, because this is sort of how he works. He could also say, screw it. You guys have done nothing to deserve help.
Correct.
Because this is not, I don't think that Bill Guerin wants to be competitive, but I don't think he sees this like he did last spring.
Yep.
Because last spring was, we're going in.
Yes.
I think that this team could basically tell him, you know what? Stay on the diving board because it's not worth going into the pool for this group because the inconsistency of the play will drive a guy like Guerin absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I guess not to contradict ourselves here, because we obviously love the reckless speculation. We love the trade ideas. And if they made this trade, I mean, we're all in and it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about and all that fun stuff. But I wouldn't be shocked too. Let's say the Wild maybe do go on a tailspin. Or they just play, you know, kind of like they've been playing all season, which is right inconsistent stretches of dominance and stretches of like, what is wrong with this team?
Right.
This isn't a make or break situation for Guerin to have to make a decision by the, like last year. I think that was, like He paid some prices for some guys. He obviously brought Marc-Andre Fleury in here. He brought in Nick Delorier in here. He made some tweaks here to be buyers at the deadline. Jake Middleton, too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. You're also right, though, that they don't necessarily deserve it if they don't play wrong. And also, they're in a position here where they're still in cap hell that they can't really be
correct
willing to just give away the prospects, give away the draft picks, because with you still being in that cap hell for about, I think, two more years after this, you need to really hit on those entry-level contracts, right? You need to hit on those prospects that are coming up through your pipeline. You can't really just be selling them off from a position of strength.
Right.
So, yes, this all could be for naught, right? Like, this all just could be maybe a wild card team, and if it bounces in five games, it bounces, or if they don't make the playoffs at all, it's not gonna be a defining moment for them. But you're right that probably these next few weeks to what Bill Guerin did to challenge them last week at his little press conference, that'll probably tell us here in a couple of weeks if there are indeed on someone like Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, I think part of what occurred a year ago as well, Dex, is this. They knew that they couldn't afford to keep Fiala. He was a dynamic player. Now, I will give you this. He disappeared in the playoffs, so that's not a positive. But I think that there was a feeling that the proverbial Brett Favre line, the pieces are in place. I think the pieces were a little bit more in place. I don't know that they are now, and I don't know... again, with the way that this team plays, like, there's times I watch them and I think, you know what, this team could win some playoff games. And then the last eight games, Saturday night, you know, they're just out there lollygagging around, you know, trying to be cute. The first line now, I think it's three games, has been nowhere to be found. Kaprizov, this is a weird one, can't hit the net to save his life. I think he's had more shots go wide in the past three games than he did. It feels like he did all year before that. Sam Steele has cooled off, which shouldn't be a shock. So, like, there's some really weird vibes here. And I do think that if they just continue to play this way, there's going to be probably in Bill's mind, to your point, we're in cap hell. I'm not going to make this worse. And the other thing, too, is, you know, at some point in time, if this just cycle continues up and down, I think you got to look at Dean as well. I'm not saying he's in trouble, but I am saying it's concerning that he can't maximize what this team should. And I think he's trying to push buttons. And, you know, this is the weird thing. In hockey, you can push X amount of buttons, but after that, it can dry up at times. And then there's the question of what happened here. And so it's weird. I got one more thing, because there's one more pressing topic that Age and I talked about, but I did not talk to you about. But before I do, I want to talk to you about my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers, who helped me a year ago now or so drop more than 40 pounds, which is fantastic. But you know what the most important thing is? Keeping that weight off. And right now, new you for the new year. In fact, look at that guy. Look at the guy on the left. Huh? Look at the guy on the right, huh? How about that? And right now, here is the offer, the Judd offer. So if you contact them and say, Judd from Score North sent me, you're going to get 50% off the program. That's right, 50% off the program to go from the left to the right. 855-GO-LIVEA, Livia.com. Livea.com is where you start on the new you for the new year, Livia.com. Okay, what is your opinion? And AJ and I talked about this after Dumba had the bad Washington game, and then he was scratched for Carolina, and we all assumed he'd be back on Saturday. He was not. He's been scratched in consecutive games. He's healthy. There's nothing wrong. To me, one game was a wake-up call. Two is a very odd warning shot. What do you think, you know, and the Wild's like, we're not trying to trade him. We're just, what do you think's going on here? Because, you know, Dex, we used to talk about this a lot. And for the life of us, you couldn't get Dumba scratched no matter what.
Yep.
And now, back-to-back games.
Yeah. I was surprised when they did it the second time. And I was probably more surprised that when they did it the second time, there wasn't a corresponding move basically announced within the first few hours that he indeed was traded. The conundrum you're going to run into here, and this is what they're probably running into as we're recording this podcast on a Sunday evening, that they are probably trying to shop him. I don't buy that for a second that they're not shopping him. They're 100% shopping him. Teams are coming back and saying, well, you don't really want to give you a significant piece for a guy that makes a good amount of money. And let's be honest, a fifth or sixth defenseman on a good team right now. So this is where I used to tell you when we kind of were really beating this drum for the last few months of, well, they're not going to give him away for nothing. They're not going to give him away for nothing. It might come to a point they're going to give him away for nothing. They're going to give him away for peanuts here. I mean, because at this point, if you're scratching him because there's a deal that's being worked out, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Yep. But
because they're now we're, what, 3 days since the first scratching that happened on Thursday night. Again, we're recording this on a Sunday evening. We're now 72 hours past that fact. There's no immediate deal that's intact. There's nothing that's being reported that they are heavily shopping him. In fact, they're denying the fact that they are. And then if you still want to shop him, no one's going to come out and say, we'll give you a third round pick for this guy. It's now going to come to the point, I think, personally, that either they're just going to have to accept that they're going to cut losses here, take whatever they can get and move the bleep on, essentially, or they're going to have a really disgruntled player who I'm sure is very upset and disappointed with his own play, but that is also understanding that now they're scratching me because I don't deserve to play, which part of I don't blame the brass for not playing him all the time at this point because he's been kind of unplayable at times this season. But at this point, I mean, unless Bill can get some type of, can work some type of magic here, I would take whatever you can get for him. And if that's a fifth round pick at that, I think I'd take it to the bank and run.
So I think it's interesting that a team that is incredibly cognizant, and Bill especially, Dean as well, though, incredibly cognizant of how, of the heartbeat of that room, right? Like they have gone, and I give them credit for this, but they have done wonders with trying to change the culture here. And Dumba, if nothing else, I think is incredibly popular. He wears a letter. All right.
Yes.
So I'll say this. The last two, the Washington game was far from perfect. And Dumba had a bad game. And he said a bunch of bad games, I think. But they won. And then the last two games, they look like a team that's got something on their minds. They look like a team that has a guy out and they're all like, whoa, what's going on with this? I have no idea if that's true or not. All right. But it looks like something is distracting them, which is their fault. It shouldn't be. But anyway, I got to think that Dumba being scratched is playing a role into the heartbeat or lack of rhythm in the locker room. All right. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and I heard this early in the season when he got off to a terrible start, that because they knew they couldn't keep him, their hope was to trade him. And he was playing so poorly, but they didn't want to scratch him to send a message around the league of this guy's unplayable. So they continued to play him and crossed their fingers that his play would improve, because if it did, then he becomes more tradable. Now, combine that with what Joe Smith wrote today, his athletic piece on Dumba being scratched for a second consecutive game, quoted anonymous scout and a couple of personnel folks from outside the Wild, in which they said his name comes up when defensemen are bandied about right now, but it's almost an afterthought name. Mm-hmm. So to your point, it's not, you know, Eric Carlson. Okay. Who's next? Matt Dumba. It's this litany, Chikorin and Carlson and all of the potential available trade deadline guys. And then it's like, oh yeah, we got Dumba too, possibly. So I think what happened is he's fallen so far down to what you're saying that this notion of we can't scratch him disappeared, because everybody basically said you're not going to get much for him, which is an interesting thing by itself. I guess this is a very long way of saying it's my expert opinion they need to resolve this quickly. I don't think him sitting in the press box is doing anybody any good. Mm-mm. Either you come back and play him, and you just play him and you take a chance that he's just going to flat out walk for a cheaper contract with a team in July, or you trade him. I don't think they've hit on the best thing. Again, like I told you, I thought Carolina being scratched was a wake-up call. Okay, I get that. I'm on board with that. I love scratching guys. But when you scratch him two consecutive games and he's a veteran and he's respected, now yeah. It's like, well, and then I think you start to look at other guys and you're like, oh, wait. Matt Dumba's being scratched, but Hartman's not.
Yep.
So you're playing favorites, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the intention was by the second consecutive scratch. I don't know if there was a problem behind the scenes and he got mad and blah, blah, blah. No idea. But I do think that Bill Guerin and Evason, for as much as he's involved, need to resolve this ASAP, because I don't think it's constructive.
Yeah, this is where now it's a potential ticking time bomb situation where you're alienating someone who means a lot to the room, which he does. I've heard the same things. and that he also is now being more, he's getting pissed off because, all right, it's a wake-up call. I can take the scratch. I'll move past it, and I'll be a better player and give me a shot on Saturday. And they say, ah, no, we're going to roll with Alex Golikoski again, who I don't like. Coach speak can come in and say, well, we actually liked Goose's play on third. You know, we really liked. Oof. If I'm Matt, I'm even more pissed off at that point. So, yeah, this is now, and this is where they've done a brilliant job at this. Guerin has, and to his credit, Evason and the room has too, from not just Evason, Foligno's, the Spurgeons, the leadership in that room has done a good job of avoiding in chemistry problems. But now this is potentially going to be an issue if one of your alternate captains, and also a really real, whether he's good or not, but a well-respected guy in the room is now being alienated because either you can't find the trade chip for him, and also you don't trust him to play every night. That's an issue. That's a significant issue.
Well, and you're exactly right. Like, it'd be different if Faber was here now, right? And he came in and played great. And now, I'm not saying that this would be simple because he's a young guy, but it'd be like, boy, I am losing my job to a young stud.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Golikoski, like, you can't sell me that, Dean. It's like last night when he's like trying to the problem is when Dean tries to defend the team, it's because he thinks that they're weak right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, it's bad enough. I'm not going, because there's no way that he watched that Panthers game and said, you know what? I love that game. But he's trying to defend his team because he knows that they are mentally soft right now. And that's a problem. So, yeah, I just think you got to make a move here, get it done with, either play him and trade him after that, or just keep him. But, you know, if you are going to just let this fester, and now he's sitting out again and again, or to your point, he starts to rotate, I think that's a terrible idea that's going to undercut a lot of the good that they've done. So that's all I got.
Yeah. Unless he gets activated here and gets back in the lineup and his game takes off, and that's better for his value, it's better for his own morale and play, that's great. But I think we're heading towards them probably just cutting their losses here by the trade deadline and just probably taking apples at this
fourth
point.
Fourth round, do you think?
Oh my God, I think I would take that and run even.
He's a pending free agent, so he's walking for nothing if he...
Yeah, I think it's probably more like a fifth. I think it's probably more like a fifth at this point.
Fair enough.
It's rough. Hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment right here on Score North. Of course, it's Judd's Hockey Show. Yes, I'm Declan Goff. It's Judd Zogad. We have been the mainstays here. Now we got a little goalie rotation. Speaking of scratches, speaking of moving bodies, speaking of players being motivated to get opportunities here, Jesse Pierce, we got AJ Fredrickson coming on the show throughout the week as well. So we're a little making some nice additions at the deadline, just like Bill Guerin potentially will be with his own team. Hit that subscribe button, daily Minnesota sports entertainment. This is Judd's Hockey.
You know, there's no room for petty bullshit.